Next item on the agenda is Meadow Ridge Green Hill Oyster Group.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
I have one piece of correspondence.
Came in yesterday.
All right, sir. Thank you. Hot off the press.
So the correspondence you got is from the protestant. I'll explain a little more as we get into the presentation. So this is an oyster ground application from a group called Meadow Ridge / Green Hill Oyster Group. It's our understanding this is a group of homeowners along Broad Bay in the city of Virginia Beach. Broad Bay is a tributary to the Lynnhaven River. The application is protested by a resident and a leaseholder, although they are not an adjacent leaseholder. So the application is located near the interface of Broad Bay and the man-made portion of Long Creek. This is the natural part of Long Creek, and the Army Corps created a shortcut. In red is the area of the application. There's a little history to this one that you need to understand before we get too far into this application. We did receive previously an application for generally the same area from Beach Oyster Company in 2015, and we did subject that to our normal public interest review, and we did survey the ground. It was protested by at least 14 residents. We believe most of them in the neighborhood immediately adjacent to the application. That project was put on a commission agenda to be heard. However, we did contact Beach Oyster Company near the time of the hearing and informed them that we would be recommending denial because of the amount of protest, and they withdrew the application. So there was never a hearing on it, but it was applied for. They did have it surveyed, and they did pay for the application and advertising. We did not charge them for the survey. We don't typically do that if you don't get anything at the end. So the Joe Gregory, who you've got the additional correspondence there, Joanne Gregory, who was a member of the company, Beach Oyster Company, with her son, she protested this application for similar reasons to the reasons that their application was protested. So when Beach Oyster Company was protested, it was protested by the residents for a number of reasons, commercial activity near a residential area, other uses of the area by the landowners, like recreational use, swimming, kayaking, fishing, and the close proximity to a number of their peers. So this is the survey we did for Beach Oyster Company for this same area. We stopped short of the channel to the north because there is a marked channel as you come out of Long Creek into Broad Bay. And we avoided the piers. That's that cutout you see in the middle, and then that additional cutout on the east end where there was a pier. So we felt we surveyed it in a way to avoid impacts to the pier, but it remained protested by a number of residents, even with that configuration. So to fast forward to now, soon after that application was withdrawn in 2016, we received the application from Meadow Ridge Green Hill Oyster Group. And it also has been subjected to our public interest review, and it has been surveyed. On September 25th of last year, we did receive an email from Joanne Gregory, and in that email, she stated her specific objections to it were the same as the objections that had been previously stated by the residents. They were listed as invasion of privacy, edge of the lease and path of boat lifts, impact on navigation and access to piers, impact on property values, a belief that the advantages of additional oyster growing activities in this area outweighed the potential negative impacts related to the use and enjoyment of the waterfront area, and interference with any future piers that might be requested. The current applicants requested to lease what you see here in this footprint all the way to the shoreline. So here's a closer view.
So this reflects their application. Again, we avoided the channel area that's offshore there. We would not lease that because it is a marked channel. This is a bit unusual. We don't normally survey underneath people's private piers unless it's a single applicant in front of their property. A riparian we would, obviously, but for a regular lease, the only time we would do that is if it's a single person applying for a lease in front of their house and they want to include the area under their pier. Our understanding here is that this group is a coalition of people that live along the shoreline and that they are all in agreement to leasing underneath their piers. Now, that presents a problem for us at the staff level for this many piers and this big a lease down the road. A property owner could change here in the future, and the new property owner might not be so thrilled that there's a lease underneath his pier. So, but this is what the applicants asked for, and it's kind of unique because they are a coalition group, it appears. So we did survey it, you know, the way they requested. So this is what the survey actually looks like. It does encompass basically, you know, all those piers you saw in the picture, and it turned out to be about 10.64 acres. I think there was some conversation between the applicants and the protestant, with some thought that she might withdraw her protest. I did speak to her yesterday on the phone, and that's the result, is the letter you got. I told her what our evaluation and recommendation was going to be, which I'll get to in a moment. And in light of that, she promised she'd send me something yesterday. As you can see, she apologizes for the late nature, but she did send it, indicating that she wanted to maintain her objection at this time. You'll see in the evaluation that there was some correspondence back and forth that's reflected in your packet prior to the most recent letter with Ms. Gregory. So in summary and recommendation, the previous application of Beach Oyster Company was heavily objected to by property owners, many of whom are parties with the current application. We did reduce the area of the Beach Oyster Ground application from 12 acres to a little over 8 at the time, removing an area within the condemned classified waters, which is to the west here on this drawing you see now, and avoiding impacts to private piers to the greatest extent possible. However, that alignment was still objected to by 14 local residents. In light of those protests, our evaluation at the time for the hearing in 2016 was that we could not support recommending leasing the area, and the applicant withdrew the application. This current application seeks to lease the same area as requested by Beach Oyster Company to include areas under and all around the existing piers. The current applicant in the questionnaire did propose to grow oysters on this lease in a very similar manner that Beach Oyster asked to grow. So they are planning to use the lease in a similar way that Beach Oyster Company had indicated they'd use it. In light of these facts, staff recommends that the current pending lease request be denied. The residents along the shoreline can still grow oysters by obtaining our General Permit 3, which is the Oyster Gardening Permit, which allows for floats and or cages adjacent to or near their piers, or they could grow oysters for personal consumption, or they could grow them for conservation purposes. We further recommend that the commission consider, if you do deny this area, designating this area as not to be leased for a period of 10 years. Such time frame will coincide with the current proof of use lease terms in the lease law. So if you granted a lease, it would be good for 10 years. If you set this aside as not to be leased, we would mirror that 10-year period. And then it would be open again for leasing unless you designated it otherwise or entertained extending that 10-year term further at the end of that 10-year period. So that is our recommendation. We feel like this is fair based on the previous application and our recommendation of denial. And then this applicant is asking to use it in basically the same way that they opposed the previous applicant. And to be fair, we feel like we need to recommend denial again. But perhaps not, because if you deny this and leave it vacant, There's nothing stopping someone from applying, a third party, from applying for this all over again. And we'll go through the same process again, because I'm sure the residents would protest it. I'd be happy to answer any questions if that's not too confusing.
Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Mr. Zedrin?
Do you think that these people here decided, well, this is the best way we can keep somebody else from leasing this, so they got together and said, we'll just lease this for ourselves?
I can't speak for what was in their minds, but, you know, they're here. I think they'll be able to answer that question more directly. I don't want to speak for them. But this would keep anyone else from leasing it along the shoreline.
Mr. Tanker, then Dr. Neal.
When you mentioned in your review and recommendations that we should designate this area as an area not to be leased for a period of 10 years, tell me how you came to that, and do we have much of a precedent for this?
We have requested the commission in the past on some occasions that we've had contested applications, and then it was denied, and then another person applied, and it was denied again, that perhaps the commission might want to consider this area, as since it's so contentious, an area that shouldn't be leased. On rare occasions, historically, the commission has taken action in a couple of creek areas that are highly developed and basically designated an entire reach of a creek as just an area not to be leased, open-ended, no 10-year term. Here we thought, well, a lease is good for 10 years. Perhaps instead of saying this is off limits forever or until the commission determines somewhere in the future they want to change it, that we would do a 10-year term. This would give the landowners some protection if this is what they're seeking from a commercial lease going here. I mean, this is a pretty active area. There's a lot of piers here, and there's a channel. And this channel is really heavily used. And we're not leasing the channel, but we would be right next to it. So working this ground, you know, could be a challenge with all the boat traffic that's here in the summer. But we just looked at the 10-year law for a lease and felt that maybe this was a bit of a compromise over an open-ended closure. Maybe in 10 years things will change and there'd be a reason to lease this. Maybe not.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Neal?
This group, is a riparian lease, is there a reason that was not pursued by these property owners?
Most of these lots don't qualify. They don't have enough width to get a riparian lease. There was a bill introduced this year that briefly had the frontage reduced, but that did not pass.
Ms. Albert.
If the commission chose to deny the pending lease and designate the area as not leasable for 10 years, this group, the Meadow Ridge Green Hill Oyster Group, could still apply for the general permit number 3 oyster gardening permit or for conservation, right?
Yes. So even if this lease existed right now, without already been assigned in this configuration, each landowner could still get an oyster gardening permit. It doesn't preclude people from oyster gardening at their pier.
And I think that's a pertinent question. The question, I think, as a follow-up, is that the individual property owner would apply for the general permit, not the entity
right. That's
before us.
Right, because typically the gardening permit was set up to be a riparian type permit. So you own the property, you want to do something at your pier or adjacent to your own shoreline. The other issue here is that related to the 10-year renewal is if you were to grant this lease and all the residents did was got oyster gardening permits, that would not qualify this lease for the 10-year renewal. The oyster gardening permit is a permit to grow oysters non-commercially for either consumption or conservation. It would not qualify under the 10-year renewal of a lease if that's all they had. Now, if they were growing oysters other places on the lease commercially, then that would count towards proof of use. So we're saying anybody along the shoreline that owns property could certainly get a gardening permit. There's no minimum frontage or anything, and it's free. The permit is free. We have received 2 or 3 applications in the last 2 weeks from landowners at this location four gardening permits that Justin Worrell is processing.
Further questions? Ben, I may have missed it. The protester, do we have a map that shows where her property is located in relation to this area?
I think she may be here. She indicated in her letter she'd be here. I don't know exactly where they live. Their leases are not anywhere close to this lease. They do have the Beach Oyster Company and the Gregory's have a couple of leases, and I believe they reside in Virginia Beach.
Is Beach Oyster Company the Gregory's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Joanne Gregory and her son, Charlie, I believe, they are principals in Beach Oyster.
Any further questions, follow up? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Is the applicant present or represented? Good morning, sir. Come forward, please.
Do you need any particular drawing?
No, I think I'm good. Support. Morning, folks. I'm Jeff Wilson. I'm with the law firm of Pender & Cowart, and I'm representing the Meadow Ridge Group in this matter. I'm going to speak briefly to some of the issues that have been raised and to the applicant's concern, and then I believe at least a few of the two or three of the applicants wish to speak themselves to these issues and to stand for questions with you. Just to give you a brief history of this lease as seen by my applicants, there's a number of them. Some of them were looking prior to the previous lease to get a riparian lease. They wanted to grow oysters off their property, but they didn't have the required width. They looked into it, and as at the time they were trying to do it, to figure out how to commercially do it, the lease request was put in by I'll call them the Gregory's, the Beach Oyster Company, and they were then prevented from doing so and were left with a situation where they had an outsider coming in. And you asked a very pertinent question, Commissioner, that is, where is Beach Oyster? Where are the Gregory's located? And it's my understanding, after discussions with them and from everything I've seen, I don't want to give an address, but they live in Hilltop, several miles away from the lease, off the water. They have no property. They're not residents in here. And that's important when we get into this. As you'll see, they're protesting as residents, which they are not. They are leaseholders and other leases, but they are not residents of this neighborhood. They have no privacy interest here. They have no direct interest in this matter. As I stated, the group got together. Some citizens, there were some of them were in the group. Some of them are probably outside the group. Had a lot of the usual complaints. This was an area you've seen the map itself. Broad Bay is not exactly broad at this area, and they were concerned with the things that were mentioned: the privacy issues, commercial interests coming in. They were also concerned that with this being all around a lot of their peers and whatnot, that they wouldn't have any say-so where the placement of the any of the oysters would be going, and they wouldn't have any, you know, work together. After the lease was withdrawn, again, this commission never considered the merits of that lease. After it was withdrawn by the Gregory's, the individuals got together and they continued their discussions. They discussed it with people who had been looking for riparian leases. They discussed it among themselves, and they said, why don't we produce on this lease? They said, why don't we do, we can make some money on this lease. We could raise them for our personal ecological purposes. And in doing so, since we are the local residents here, we will be able to work out our issues amongst ourselves. So in other words, we don't have to worry about somebody, that some outsider coming in and pressure washing cages on a sandbar at 6 a.m. in the morning, because we can pull them up on our property and do it at noon, things of that nature. So this is what this lease grew out of, as it was. There was some discussions, of course, about the garden leases, and yes, a few of the individuals have, as a backup, applied for the garden leases. I assume they will withdraw their requests for the garden leases if this is granted. It was done when the protest became clear and having some concerns that they would get this lease. At the time that they did it, they looked and they said these garden leases are too small and they lack one key component: is they're not here for commercial sales. They're for personal growth. We can't sell them if we have this give the garden lease, and we're very much limited in the area that we can raise. We don't want to do that. We want to raise. So they got together and decided to apply for this lease. The benefits being, of course, the usual benefits that you're going to get. You're protecting the oysters. But yes, we're not denying there is some protection of the neighborhood interest here as it goes in. And that was not the only reason, but there is a benefit to that that applies out of that. You're not getting what is really what I refer to as a contested lease from local property owners. They're all on board here. The benefit also is they're incentivized not to have any problems, not to work out problems together, because it is their properties there. It's their property values that are at stake. So they have an incentive to act as a group and to act reasonably and responsibly. I want to point out that with regard to the requirements of the lease, the applicants have met them all. The staff has admitted this in the recommendation. They stated that when they discussed this with Ms. Gregory, that they noted the group did appear to qualify under Virginia law to apply for the Oyster Ground lease. And further, the applicant did indicate on the use plan questionnaire intent to propagate oysters through both traditional and bottom use. And so this group has met all the necessary requirements for the lease. They're Virginia residents. They're Virginia property holders right here. They are within the lease isn't out of bounds. It isn't going to be no SAV. There's no issues here. There's been no issues presented other than Ms. Gregory's complaint, which I'll get to in a second, as being a reason why they can't lease this property. So the staff has admitted that they meet the requirements. What we don't understand is why the staff has made their recommendation to withhold the lease one way or the other, whether it's with the moratorium or not, when there is no what I would call cognizable protest here. Ms. Gregory has made a protest, and she has a right to do so, and the commission certainly has a right to consider that protest. But as stated earlier, if you read the reasons for that protest, they concern the invasion of privacy and usual interest concerning navigation, placement of piers, how it would affect local property owners. Those were the interests that the property owners had when her lease was up. They are not her interest because she is not a property owner there. She is not a waterfront property owner. So she is not losing anything here. She is, I believe, after my personal discussions with her, and rightfully or wrongfully so, an aggrieved party. And this is her way of expressing her aggrievement with this, is to protest this, to say it's not fair. So there's no real concern here because, again, these issues will be worked out among the property owners. The staff did reference property values as being, you know, possibly sometime in the future if a property does sell and somebody comes in and this property. Well, those are the interests of the individuals. That's their property values that are at stake. They're the ones that are affecting their own property values. They're very well aware that, in the end, anybody moving in there is going to know that there's a lease back there behind the house, but there's a decision they've all decided to make on their own. Anybody acquiring the property will do so, assumedly, with a transaction, they will take that into account. And if they give less money for it, then nobody's property value is affected. They know what's going on behind them in the sense that they're losing something. And the other issue that I can't understand is that's going on here is the staff recommendation means no productivity. It means that they're saying that maybe they'll get garden leases, maybe they'll go out and do some of this, but on the lease property itself, there will be no productivity, and there'll be no oysters. So in essence, if we're going for a moratorium, we're choosing between oyster growth, which my clients are representing, and no oyster growth. And I've seen a lot, you know, through the commission, the administration recently has reaffirmed their commitment to shellfish growing in Virginia, but at the same time has recognized in the recent work group papers and otherwise that property owners have rights, that and there's been contention between these two. This is the perfect case of where those two rights align. Both the property owners are getting what they want, and so does the commission, or so does the state of Virginia. The only issue I can see here is a subtext, is the balancing of the harms here, or the balancing of the scales. The argument that Ms. Gregory had was unable to get her lease at the time, and so therefore no one should be able to get it. Again, if you look at the protest reasons and the reasons of the protest, they applied originally. There were privacy issues. There were placement issues. There were things of that nature. They don't apply here. And respectfully, I believe the commission's concerns are what is in the public interest here and the public trust. They're not here to, balance scales or to take somebody's aggrieved and make them feel better about the fact that they didn't get the lease. We're concerned also with the moratorium of how it would be enforced, whether it would be enforced, whether, you know, even if we come down later on, you know, 5 years from now, where there's a new panel here, could somebody come in and say, the commission say, you know, we're just going to end the moratorium now. We don't know what the enforcement procedure is there. But that is irrelevant to my clients because, again, if that was all they wanted, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. We would be arguing, or at least I wouldn't be arguing for the lease itself. I'd be arguing to accept the moratorium. My clients have made investments. They've purchased both bottom structures and spat and things of that nature in preparation of this, with the understanding again that they haven't gotten it, they haven't gone full in, but they have purchased this and they'll testify to that in front of you in preparation of moving forward. It is their intention to begin planting on the general grounds itself. It is the intention to eventually, once they have a product, to commercially sell that product. And again, they can only do that through a general lease permit and not through the garden lease here. Again, as I stated, this is a situation where all the interests have aligned. There's no real downside to this, at least not with regard to what has been protested or what has been stated. And I believe that my clients have made a claim that is justifiable. They've met the requirements and therefore should get the lease. I'm open for any questions at this point in time, or I can sit down and you can hear from the actual.
Any questions, excuse me, of the council? Mr. Taggart.
So you've got a bunch of neighbors here, and what happens when somebody doesn't get along? What's their operating agreement for when somebody doesn't get along? Or as someone stated earlier, that there is a new neighbor, a new purchaser of property in this area?
Well, I would argue that that's the nature of any lease that would impinge upon riparian property is that you have a property there and somebody's going to move in and see floating oyster cages or anything of that nature. But I do not know what the exact operating. My understanding is the group is working on formulating some rules and regulations for the use, but I have not seen them myself. You can address them, Commissioner, individually, and maybe they can tell you a little bit more about it at the time.
Mr. Zedrin.
What is the logic on leasing it right up to the shoreline as opposed to some reasonable distance from each pier?
My understanding, and I wasn't involved at the time, but I've spoken with them. I think that the reason they did that is so they could also incorporate the idea of the garden leases altogether. That some of them were looking at putting, had been laying shell down inside that, and I'm assuming that it's possible they could get a garden lease as well on top of that. But if they were putting shell down outside on their piers, or they couldn't sell those oysters, so I think they just wanted to encompass it all in one greater area.
Ms. Everett?
Mr. Stagg mentioned it may be problematic in the future if there is a lease up to the shoreline. If the homeowner changes hands, for example, I don't know if you.
Well, as I've spoken to my clients about that, and their thought is that that's just the nature of the property. It's a right of, I guess you would say, appurtenant to it, or a loss of a right appurtenant. They're looking into the concept of when they get together and working up an agreement between all of them that the right to become part of the group would transfer maybe with the lease at that time, but they haven't done that as such. Again, what is impacted there is their property values, and it's their property, so they are the ones that are taking it on at the time. I cannot guarantee, of course, that in the future there won't be problems or issues. That's the nature of neighbors, but they believe that they can handle this and work around this at this time.
Further questions? Ms. Lawson?
Do you know if your clients, so as I understand, do they plan to work this oyster business themselves?
They do. There will be no subcontracting of this. This is something that they'll be doing amongst themselves. And there are a mix of experiences with this. Some people have experience in the oysters. Some have raised them just for themselves. So they're kind of wading into a new area themselves with the commercial use here. And they're a new industry. So they're stepping in a new area for them.
Mr. Tankard.
As you may have heard staff presented, that we're next to a channel that is used heavily. So we have seen oyster cages and different aquaculture pieces of equipment move around in the past. So what will happen when a cage or group of cages gets thrown or pushed in by a weather event into the adjacent channel and becomes a hazard, what will happen then?
Well, Commissioner, the group will obviously work to get to get everything out of the channel. If it does happen, I mean, weather happens, it occurs. We've all aware of floating oyster problem at where they've broken loose and hundreds of cages have floated out. These are issues. But in my mind here, this group is the best qualified to handle that problem because as the adjacent property owners, they know where the channel is. They know where the sandbars are. I mean, they'll come up and tell you, sandbars kids used to play on are now, there's oyster cages there already. There are leases in this area on the other side. They're just asking for the same right as those leaseholders have to do that. And we believe, again, being the local group, they have an incentive to make sure they're not putting something there that would get in the way of each other or in the general public.
Further questions? All right, Counselor, who do you have next?
Yes.
Have come up.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, sir. Did you raise your right hand, please?
Yes, sir.
Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God.
I do.
Proceed. Your name, please.
My name is Steve Quisenberry, and I'm going to speak on behalf of the Meadow Ridge Green Hill Oyster Group. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you. As I read the available information online or what's been in the press lately, it seems that the state, this commission, the VMRC, the oyster industry, and residents of Virginia are kind of at a crossroads when it comes to oyster leases in particular areas. I think we all agree that there is a need to propagate oysters to be stewards of the environment, and the oysters play a significant role in that. The question becomes, in situations like this, how do we facilitate that so that all parties come out as winners? How do we achieve a success while abiding by current regulations as well as protecting the rights of all those folks involved? In this case, we believe it's to allow the adjacent property owners to lease the grounds and propagate oysters. The 12 acres, although I guess it's 10 acres, Ben just showed us, of lease we have applied for is a narrow strip between 16 homes and the main channel in Broad Bay. According to a letter written by the VMRC, we have met the requirements of the application of the lease, as you just heard. We all know that propagating oysters in bottom cages requires work. The placement of these cages and or structures have maintenance involved, and this maintenance can be very invasive to property owners. In our particular bay, across the bay from me, which is probably 300 yards, there's a sandbar. Sandbar is approximately 50 feet off of docks there, and I've been to my friend's house at night at low tide when the oyster industry or the oyster company is power washing his docks. I mean, basically, your dock becomes useless. It can prevent the safe passage and usage of the waters adjacent to the properties. Additionally, it can have a very negative effect on our properties. And what I would contend is that Mr. Stagg's presentation, our lease, as you heard from our lawyer, our lease is not the same as the previous lease. We're the homeowners. If we control the lease, and you asked why we wanted to go under our peers, if we control the lease, we control the placement of the particular structures or cages. We control where they are aesthetically. We control when they're worked on, whether it's low tide or not low tide. So as a group, we protect the rights we have and the reason that we live on the waterfront and the waterways. Our group has discussed as to where we'll place the cages on most of the properties, and we're in discussions now to determine the rest of it, or structures. We can use bottom structures without having a negative effect on the neighbors. We have agreed upon how and when to work on the leases, not to interfere with the usage of docks, adjacent waterways, or the safety and, the property uses of the neighbors. And also something I want to make sure, I may misunderstand it, but the difference between the oyster gardening permits and the oyster leases, even though we don't have enough land to have a riparian lease, we still have more land than just our dock space. And my understanding is that oyster gardening needs to be affixed to your dock, which eliminates 3/4 of the property we have to propagate oysters because it's not at our dock. So that's a major difference in applying for a lease versus the gardening, in my opinion. It gives us more space, again, to aesthetically place our gardening operation and to do it without interfering with our own docks or our neighbor's docks. As you heard, some of us have purchased cages or bottom structures. The others are in the process of. We have quotes. I mean, we're not here to say we don't want oysters. We're not here to say that we don't want to help achieve the goals of this committee for the state and the VOMRC. We're here to request control of the leases in the area that affect our privacy, our property, the safety of ourselves and other people in the waterway and of the adjacent waterways and properties. Since we're the first applicant in, because the other application never actually made it in, it was withdrawn, since we qualify under Virginia law to apply for the lease, and by admission of the VMRC, we have met all the requirements of the lease, we are requesting that our lease be approved by the committee. I'll take any questions.
Questions? Mr. Zedrin.
Why do you have to have it all the way to the shoreline as opposed to a reasonable distance from each of those piers?
Well, when it doesn't go to the shoreline, it's not just around the piers. It's from the end of the piers to your bulkhead, if you will. So if we were to not use the pier, the channel is so close. If we stopped at our pier and went to the channel, there's really not space to propagate oysters. And if we have just the gardening lease, we're restricted to just the property that can connect to our docks. If we want to truly propagate oysters, I mean, don't get me wrong, open up a can of worms, letting an oyster lease come under our dock. We're doing that so we have enough space on our properties to truly propagate enough oysters to commercially sell them.
Further questions? Ms. Everett?
Follow up to that. So what is your goal in terms of acreage or amount of oysters you're looking to sell at the gardening?
What my goal is to sell enough oysters to cover my property taxes so I can retire. I don't know what everyone else's goal is, but I mean, we plan on propagating oysters and commercially selling them. As I understand the regulations as they're written now, there's really not a request for a quantity of oysters to grow in the current lease environment. That may change. We're willing to abide by that. But I know that to go through the effort and not propagate enough oysters to sell and make a profit is nothing we're interested in.
Mr. Tankard.
What did you think about Mr. Stagg's idea of making this a zone that could not be leased? That seems as though that would accomplish a lot of the goals that you just testified that your group sought.
Sure. I guess my reaction to that is several. One is that, again, my understanding, and I could be corrected by someone from the VMRC if I'm wrong, it eliminates about three-quarters of my property as space to propagate oysters because the gardening lease has to be affixed to my dock. So that causes a couple problems. One is that it makes part of my dockage unusable because I have oyster cages or floats attached to it. Secondly, it eliminates, you can correct me.
Before you go too far down that road, let me make it correct.
Mr. Stagg.
The gardening permit allows people to do floats or cages anywhere in their riparian area. They don't have to be tied to the pier.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me, Mr. Stagg, while you're there, you might have mentioned the water quality. Is the water quality clean, stove, no
this area
condemnation?
Is
or,
the condemnation comes right to the western boundary of this lease.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just need that on the record.
So I was wrong, incorrect. My biggest issue with that is we are losing control. You're just kicking the can down the road. I mean, that's the first thing. You're kicking down the can down the road for 10 years. So at the end of 10 years, we have an application that's in to your commission now. So at the end of 10 years, if it's leasable, are we the first applicant in because we have the application? And if we met all the rules, you're going to give us the lease, or are we going to have to come and meet before the committee again? I mean, no one knows that. So, you know, I don't know about the rest of the homeowners, but I have daughters. This home will be in my family for way, way longer than I'm on this earth. And if I can propagate oysters to help pay for that property, and commercially do it to help my family, help my kids go to grad school, and continue that as long as it goes down through their lifetime, that's what I'd like to achieve.
Mr. Tanker?
So, let me ask you a follow-up question. Does anyone in your group have any experience doing this type of activity?
Well, I've actually applied for the gardening lease because I don't know where your police officers are. I've actually been growing orchards and floats for about 5 years. I didn't know you needed a gardening permit to do it. Additionally, there's a large bulkhead in front of my bulkhead. There are large stones. I've been laying spat on those stones for 9 years, letting orchards grow wild. I'm already doing it. The answer to your question is there are some of us that are growing orchards now. There are none of us that are doing commercially. But I've watched the operation, as I say, on the sandbar across from me. It's not a difficult thing to do. It's very, very simple. Yes, ma'am.
How many people are in your group?
There's 16 homeowners.
16 homeowners.
So, most homeowners have a spouse that's on the property, so 30 people.
Follow-up, Ms. Lusk?
How do you plan on, is there an agreement on how you plan on distributing the proceeds of your operation?
We haven't discussed that as we speak in our meetings. I think everyone is planning on collecting the proceeds from their operation at their home.
So everyone will have their own separate operation at their home, and that contributes to the
yes, ma'am.
Group?
That's what we've discussed.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand a little
bit
how 16 people with one oyster company are going to all pay their
property taxes. It's not a company, ma'am. It's a group. It's not a company.
Okay.
I mean, by the VMRC zone admission, we've met without having a formal corporation, if you will, or company. We've met the requirements for the lease.
Just a couple questions as a follow-up.
Sure.
Number one, I just want to get on the record. I'm very particular about council, and all due respect, the discussion back and forth about the protestant being aggrieved and whether or not there was appropriate standing. The public trust doctrine, as I've told people before, doesn't go over sometimes very well, but the crab in the water is owned just as much by the little old lady in Roanoke as it is by the waterman that's trying to catch it here. So everyone, to me, under Section 28.2.1205, based on the public trust doctrine, has standing as far as the sub-acre spot of lands of the Commonwealth of Virginia are concerned. So for that, I just wanted to get that out. I've also had some questions that have been asked already about the arrangement of I noticed you're up here speaking on behalf of it. The application has, I presume, Dr. Gershon as the primary person who's put his name.
He's to speak next, sir.
He's to speak next?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll ask the question of this gentleman or counsel.
Either who can answer it. So the requirement for to be an eligible applicant, if you are not a resident and not a locality, is you have to be a firm or corporation chartered under the laws of this Commonwealth for the purpose of oyster culture and the oyster business. That at least 60% of the stock of any such corporation is wholly owned by residents of the Commonwealth. Has this group been chartered under the laws of the Commonwealth?
It has not, and I'm not an attorney or a counsel, but the first part of that sentence was if you're not a resident, we are residents.
Right, but you're not applying as a resident. You're applying as this group. Which is a little bit different.
Sure, I understand.
And obviously for profit, because that's on the record, already been testified to. So continue.
If counsel has anything to add, I'm happy to have this clarified.
As I understand it, the purpose and the reason behind the statute itself was to ensure that Virginia residents, this is a oyster war statute. The Virginia residents were the ones that were benefiting from taking the property. So it kept a business from, say, Maryland or from North Carolina or from Wyoming from coming in and taking our oysters and our spat and our seeds. These are all Virginia residents. They have joined together as a group, but again, they could have had one person come forward just as easily on that. So our contention is that we fit under the statute, we fit under the intention of the legislative intention here.
Well, I mean, before we get to the purpose and the intention, I'm sure you understand we have to look at the plain language, and the plain language controls over the intention. And so we have three categories: resident, which typically groups, corporations, anything like that is not a resident. And then we have a firm or corporation chartered under the laws of the Commonwealth with 60% of the stock wholly owned by the residents. So, I mean, we're bound by the plain language first before the intention. So my question is, do you fit under the plain language?
I believe we do. I believe these are residents, and the residents individually are claiming these together as a leaseholder. I mean, if they come in here individually and requested one, again, I think it would be the same thing. So they're residents. They're just residents that are bound together. They're not a corporation. No. And I believe that's where they fall under in the statute.
Let me get I've got Ms. Lusk first.
I have so many questions about how this group could work if every individual is operating their own separate mini oyster farm, then who's responsible? Is it Stephen Gershom for any situation that might come up for the entire lease? How do we handle that situation? Who's responsible for approving the use requirement? I agree that if it was an individual resident, that would be a different story, and each individual resident has a right to apply for the lease in front of them that they're going to use, whether if not as a riparian owner, then as a resident of the Commonwealth. But I'm still having a hard time wrapping my mind around how a group that still doesn't have any official documentation or any sort of official structure can be in charge of a large lease like this.
Understood. Mr. Zadrin?
How many of these groups has a waterman's license? You're talking about selling oysters and making profit. I mean, does anyone have a waterman's license?
Not at this point in time, sir. Why would you get a waterman's license if you don't have a lease yet?
Because it's a 2-year delay in order to get a waterman's license.
That's a good reason.
Further questions? Let's hear from Dr. Gershon.
If we could briefly, two issues.
Sure.
One, I wanted to address the standing issue. I was not suggesting at all when I came up here that Ms. Gregory didn't have standing. I was just saying that the complaints she was stating were not personal to her. And that's it. She, of course, has standing to any Virginia resident.
Thank you, Counselor.
And also, if I could quickly, can we have people who are here, the group, stand up here supporting this, whether you're going to be testifying or not?
Okay.
So I just wanted to get
perfect. That. Thank you very much. Who's next? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear a testimony that you give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record.
Dr. Steve Gershon. So I just wanted to make a couple of points here. Number one is that I formed this group approximately 2.5 years ago when we had this issue in terms of the protesting. Number two is that what Mr. Quisenberry was just saying in terms of each of us controlling the land in front of our homes, that's not entirely correct. What we wanted to do as a group is come together as a group, utilize some of the knowledge that we have. Some of us have more more background in terms of oyster propagation than others. Not all 16 of us have the degree of knowledge that Mr. Quisenberry has and that 4 or 5 other people have. So on all the collective property, we propagated somewhere between 20 and 30,000 oysters per year over the last couple of years. So what we want to do is take that knowledge base and apply that across the entire lease. So there are some people that are involved in the group that want to be more involved. There are some people that have made significant purchases in terms of cages thus far. I have documentation of people who've purchased fat in the last couple of years and are currently propagating oysters. Again, I think as our council discussed, there are several of us who were not aware that we could not do this without a gardening permit. one of the reasons that we want to establish this relationship with each other is to make sure that we're really controlling our destiny. Number two is the fact that when you take a look at where we would place these, we are extremely close to the channel. As Mr. Quisenberry has already testified, we're within a couple of hundred yards of the channel. We have a limited amount of area that we can propagate oysters. Clearly, we're not going to have any issues in terms of navigational structures. We are all very, very intent on making sure that people who kayak in our area, people who are fishing in our area, are able to continue to do so. I think, I believe it was you, Commissioner Tankard, who was asking about the issue of, well, in a storm, what would potentially happen if some of the cages became loose and ended up in the channel. Who better than us to make that decision, because we can visually see if these are issues. We have complained before to the Marine Police about things being placed in the channel. It happens very frequently in our area when storms pass through. So sometimes the channel markers move, sometimes the no wake zone markers move, and we are the first people who are able to visually see this with our eyes and make the phone calls. So our goal here is to propagate oysters. If we were just simply content in terms of being able to just have a moratorium placed, as Ben Stagg had recommended, we wouldn't be here right now. Our goal is to propagate oysters. Our goal is to have structures on the bottom throughout our entire lease. And I think some of the questions that you had asked, Ms. Luff, was how are we going to control this sort of thing? Well, our first goal was to obtain the lease. Our second goal then is to incorporate our group and then share the profits of the group depending upon how many people are actually participating in this process. So far, there's about, out of the group of 16, there's 14 of us who are very, very interested in propagating oysters. So there's a precedence that's already been set in 2007 in the Grunland area of Hampton that you all approved for 24 acres for a civic league in that region. This is similar to a civic league, what we've put together, because of the fact that there's two neighboring properties. There's Meadow Ridge, which is the property to the west, and there's Greenhill, which is the property to the east. They don't fall under the same exact civic league, so we couldn't just simply go to our civic league. The next point is the fact that we attempted to apply for our riparian rights, but as I'm sure you know, you have to have 205 linear feet for that. None of us are even close. None of us come to even 50% of the requirements for the riparian lease. So we couldn't simply apply for that lease. So we do want to take destiny into our hands. We want to take control of the situation. We want to make sure that we are following through with everything that is required under the commission. We have placed the lease. We have placed our application for the lease. We have some knowledge, albeit not that of a commercial leasing company, in terms of shellfish propagation, but it doesn't seem fair to me that we would be stripped of our potential for this lease just because we don't have the knowledge and the background in terms of a prior commercialization. So that would be like someone coming into my practice or into the physician world and saying, well, you haven't practiced medicine before, despite the fact that you have an MD license. We're going to restrict you from being able to practice medicine. That's not a valid argument from my perspective. So I think what is fair here is that we are at least given the opportunity, and we want to be able to prove ourselves. We are aware that there's this public perception of these so-called bad actors that are not really propagating oysters. There are leases behind our house that are not currently being worked. That is not the intent of our company.
Questions?
Any questions?
I was just going to point out, but you're not a company.
Correct. Our goal is, once we obtain the lease, to incorporate, to get bylaws in place, to make sure that we meet all the requirements.
We've got Mr. Tankard and Mr. Zedrin.
You mentioned the word fair a couple times, and I go back to the Beach Oyster Company, whose application was protested in 2015 by a number of residents that I suspect are members of your group. How do you reconcile turning or that application being withdrawn because of the pressure of the residents of your group. And now those same residents want to take that ground up. And when they had cited problems of conflict with regard to navigation, recreation, et cetera, I mean, those things will still exist today as they did in 2015.
They would, except for the fact that we would then have control of that situation. So if there are any issues within the group of people being able to get in or out of their peers, that would be something we could address internally. We don't have to go to an outside group. If that lease was given to an outside group, we would then, as an individual homeowner, have to go to that group. We are the group. We do have the ability to make those decisions internally. Just like a civic league has votes, we would be voting internally to address any of these issues.
Mr. Zadron?
You guys have very good counsel. And my question is why don't you incorporate first so that you have a legal entity, as our counsel has suggested is required by the statute, before you come here as an unincorporated group?
So I think number one is that we've put a lot of money into this thus far. Number one, we have put money in for the application. We have had to purchase stakes. We are in the midst of having to pay for the survey. Once the survey, if in fact we are granted the survey, we have to put hundreds and hundreds, over $1,000 in newspaper ads, and in addition to that, pay for the council. So we've sunk a lot of money into this. We've also invested individually in cages. We've purchased quite a bit of spat over the last couple of years. So we have thousands and thousands of dollars in this. So once we acquire the lease, the goal is then incorporate, have bylaws in place to address all of these issues that you all are bringing up.
Yeah, my question is, why haven't you done that first?
Just because of the cost associated with it.
I think they're reasonable, don't you, counsel? Don't you think your fees are reasonable?
Mine are, but I can't speak for all the others.
All right. Love it when two lawyers get to joust, and it's always fun. Ms. Lusk.
I think I have a question for our counsel. Because if this lease were granted, would it be granted to Dr. Gershom? Or would it be granted to a group that does only exist because, I mean, there's no document that says this group exists?
So that is a serious concern. So normally we have a responsible party put their name on in addition to the corporation so that we have a point of contact. But if the group doesn't exist, I mean, we are issuing it to the group. So if the group doesn't exist, I don't know that we can issue it to an individual who hasn't actually applied for it.
Your follow-up. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else wish to be heard in this matter? Support? In support. Yes, sir. Come forward. Solemnly swear testimony to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, if you got
it. I did.
What's your name, please?
My name is Chris Robertson. I'm not an attorney, so I can't address that legal issue there. But I've been friends with Krishna Padiyar for 40 years. We grew up together.
Who?
Krishna Padiyar. He's one of the homeowners in this group, and I'm not one of the members of the group. But I approached him. When he bought that house and moved in, I approached him probably in 2013 or so and said, do you realize you're sitting on like an ideal spot to raise oysters? I said, can we do this together? Can we get a little, I said, I've always dreamed of having a little oyster operation. And he was all on board. We started learning about it. We tried to get a riparian lease. And we realized his property was just that much short of being able to get his own riparian lease. And so then we tried to figure out everything else that we needed to do. And then that's when we discovered the group came together and said, okay, well, that's our way to get it. Now, a few questions here that I heard that were asked. One is you asked if anybody was a waterman. I've been trying to learn about this process so that I can do that. I took the course for the with the oyster handler's permit. I received that, and I've been communicating with people at VMRC since for 5 or more years about what I needed to do. And my understanding was that until I had a lease to raise some oysters on, there was no point in proceeding in that process, because without a place to harvest oysters from, doesn't matter what kind of licenses you have. If we had been able to get a riparian lease in 13 or 14 when we started doing that, I can tell you by now I would have all of those licenses and we would have already been selling oysters. We've been wanting to do it. A couple other points. I think the big difference between the lease they want and the oyster gardening lease is, yes, they can do it from themselves, but you cannot sell off of an oyster gardening permit. That's the big difference between a gardening permit and the regular lease. I think you have some concerns about what everybody has their own operation on one thing. Well, I think if somebody owned a farm, they could sublet different acres out of their farm and let different growers grow on things. If you owned an office building, you could sublet to different occupants of that. So it seems pretty easy to let different people kind of have their own little operation going on there. A leaseholder, many leaseholders don't grow their own oysters, but then they sublet it out to other oystermen. So it seems like a pretty easy thing to do there. And I guess one other comment you had, Mr. Bowman, is you said how the lady in Roanoke she owns the crab on there as much as anyone else does. That's the same with deer. No one owns the deer that run on property, but I can't walk onto your farm or your backyard and hunt deer in your backyard.
There's a big difference between the subaqueous bottomlands of the Commonwealth and real property that you possess.
Right.
Big difference.
Okay. But then if the other oyster, if Beach Oyster has that, then that means they can't ever do it commercially in their backyard. So yeah, they don't own the crabs there, but they own the rights to do the things that these folks would like to do. That's what I had to offer to this. If
anybody
has
sir.
Any questions.
Appreciate the questions. Thank you. Anyone else in support? Is there anyone here in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please. Could you raise your right hand, ma'am? Solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall be God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Yes. I'm Joanne Gregory. My son Charles and I own Beach Oyster Company. We are both licensed commercial watermen. We have one employee, my grandson, and he too has a commercial license. As far as the residents, I understand what they're trying to do. I feel like I understand. I've talked to their attorney a couple of times. But there's a couple of things I want to clarify. Their concern of their property values decreasing when there is a active oystering going on in their front yard. The city of Virginia Beach does not look at the oyster leases. Your property is assessed by your property and your home. As far as us withdrawing our application, yes, we did that, 4 years ago, based on Mr. Stagg's recommendation that they could not support it because of the number of complaints. We are a registered company. We are oystermen. We do have 2 small sites that we raise and harvest regularly. We constantly reseed. Every year we put out new seed, and we do sell commercially. If they think that they're going to make enough to put children through school, they're going to rethink that.
Can we do this? Can you state your reason for protesting this application? I think we stick to that, we'd be better off.
Yes, because we were looking for ground. We were looking to expand our oyster business. And yes, I didn't feel it right that commercial watermen regular harvesters were being denied because the residents did not want us in their front yard. They didn't want us devaluing their property. The issues that I raised that have not been resolved. If they intend on putting cages throughout this lease, is it not going to cause the same thing as if we had cages in their complete lease? My reason of opposing it, as I stated in my original letter, is I don't feel it's right that a resident has priority over a commercial waterman. Simply
okay.
That.
Questions, Ms. Gregory? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor, if you'd like to rebut, you've got 3 minutes, if you would. We've been on this quite a while.
Just briefly.
Yes, sir.
Again, this is I'm not rebutting the fact that Ms. Gregory has a right to come up here and speak, but as you stated, I don't believe that this is a balancing of the scale situation. I think that the oyster really should be taken as it is, especially considering the fact that there was no actual vote by the commission last time. For all I know, you would have all voted, or whomever was here would have voted just as much in favor of her as you would in front of the neighbors. I again state that just briefly that my clients have met all the requirements here as far as I can see, and the staff has stated such, and that it doesn't really seem to be a specific reason from the public that is concerned here that is referenceable. There's no, their privacy interests are the ones at stake. They're the ones that are taking the hit here. So we just ask that you take that into account and that you you support this, or you deny staff recommendation and support the lease.
Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Right up front, excuse me, there have been a number of comments made pertaining to riparian leases. And I believe if you defer back to 28.2600, the General Assembly had well intended for there to be a certain requirement in front of a piece of property in order it to be satisfied, in order for it to satisfy for a riparian lease. I think what we've got here is an exact reason as to why the General Assembly initially wanted that minimum amount. And what is being done today, and all due respect, is in a creative way trying to circumvent 28.2600 of the riparian requirement by certain creative mechanics. I know we've got other issues as far as corporations are concerned, who's going to do what, how they're going to do it, but I think, as I read 28.2600, the intent of the law, I think that's what I'd like to hitch the wagon to today as far as I'm concerned, and as far as my position is concerned. I'll open it up for comment. Mr. Tankard?
For me, 28.2604, I'm afraid I just don't see where this is an eligible applicant or an oyster grove.
Mr. Zeidman?
I'd like counsel to give a formal opinion on that.
Well,
it won't be a formal one. Yeah,
I can give a formal opinion. I am not the Attorney General. I can give my current opinion based on what we have heard today. I think no matter how you read 604, if there's some sort of group entity applying rather than an actual individual, it has to actually exist. It has to meet at least the requirements of a firm or corporation. It has to be some sort of business entity to hold an oyster lease. The fact that all the members of this group are residents, I don't think that makes this group a resident, or else why do we have a separate category for firms or corporations? Also, there's an issue to me with enforcement, quite frankly, if this group doesn't exist and we only have their word that they're going to get incorporated and they're going to be able to get incorporated. If they don't, who's responsible? This individual? But technically, he doesn't hold the oyster lease. I'd also point out 28.2634. It is a class one misdemeanor for a corporation that is not authorized to hold oyster planting ground to rent oyster planting ground. And in that case, such rental, lease, or assignment is void. So I don't think this is something we can play fast and loose with.
Well,
or we should.
Okay. Then the question is, number one, since I'm also agency head, should we have accepted, and should this lease even be up for consideration before the commission in its current form? Because it begs the question, you've got a group that's applied with one person with a bunch of their own. I mean, what's the situation there?
I don't think it did meet the requirements to come here before for consideration. The group is not an eligible applicant. But, I mean, it is before the commission.
Okay.
Well, I guess I have to say something since I accepted the application. We accepted it under the impression of previous legal advice we've been given by the Attorney General Office that this entity would qualify as a firm.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, Kelsey, but
different lawyers have different opinions. That's why you have nine people in the Supreme Court. That's the way it works.
They clearly are not a corporation. So, we agree with that. But.
I have read this, but the bottom line is it does have to be a business entity, even if it is trying to qualify under the firm designation. And by what we heard, counsel didn't even try to justify how they might be a firm or any sort of business entity. They have no rules. They don't seem to have any papers that actually create this group. It's sort of an informal conglomeration. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be a corporation. It doesn't necessarily have to be incorporated or have stock. But it does have to qualify under the laws of Virginia as a business entity of some kind, which, based on what I've heard, this doesn't.
And I think to counsel's credit, he was being honest because he didn't know, and it's not been established yet.
Certainly.
Further discussion? Ms. Lusk?
I have just a number of concerns with this application. First and foremost is, as we've recently discussed, as we've been discussing, I think there's an issue with whether the applicant is an appropriate applicant for this process. The second issue, I think, as you pointed out, Commissioner, that this does seem to be a riparian runaround mechanism. And also, I'm a little concerned with the experience level of some of the people that we've heard from. Certainly, oyster industry is a growing industry, and there is room for new members. But to say that we shouldn't consider experience level, I think that's a question that we ask numerous times when people come up here to apply for leases, particularly when those leases are in highly trafficked areas. One of the questions that we always ask is, do you have experience? Because that matters when you're operating in a highly trafficked area. To say that your experience is observing other oyster operations across the creek and that somehow that makes you an expert in growing oysters, I think is pretty far off the mark. So for all of those reasons, I am not in favor of supporting this application.
Matters before the commission. The chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Tankard.
You know, we've talked about the law with regard to this application, and then also maybe Mrs. Lewis gets mentioned the operating process of this kind of situation, and with 16 different owners of the lease or 16 different leasors or whatever this is, which we've yet determined as we've talked about a bit, I don't know how they're going to have an operating process that would make any sense and would be any good for the public's benefit with regard to navigation and recreation. So I thus move to turn this application down. I can't support it.
Is that a motion to accept staff recommendation?
That is a motion to accept recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Tanker to accept staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Who second?
I will second.
Second by Mr. France. Further discussion?
Clarification. So that you're including in your motion the setting this aside as not to be leased for 10 years. That is staff recommendation.
Excuse me. I should have been should have clarified. I would like to hear what others of the commission have to say with regard to a moratorium on not leasing or leasing this ground. So my motion would be only for turning this application down.
Okay. You raised a question, Dr. Neal. Do you have a follow-up on that?
I was just wanting to know what his motion was.
Okay.
That was going to be my question as well.
Ms. Everett.
Could I add an amendment to the motion?
You can make an amendment under Robert's Rules of Order. I believe you can make a friendly amendment to the maker of the motion if they accept it. What would that be?
Okay. Could the it be a moratorium on that as per staff recommendation for 10 years?
Will you accept that as your motion?
Again, I'd like to hear more about what the commission in general has to say about that. I'd like to separate the two.
Okay. I believe it's a good idea. I think it's got merit. I think that in order to do that, it basically allows the property owners that are there now and for foreseeable future to have the individual control of their area that's appropriate for navigation and recreation. I think that gets at it. I think it also allows them to propagate oysters for ecological and environmental purposes. I think it's a good idea, and it also prevents any question about who's doing what where. That's my opinion. Mr. Tanger?
You'd make a good point. I suspect that I would be in concurrence with that friendly amendment.
Friendly amendment to that is to accept staff recommendations in totality. Is there a second from the seconder of the motion? It is, Mr. France. Any further discussion on this motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.